Chapter 23. Miss Emma felt well enough on Monday to accompany my aunt and Reverend Ambrose to visit Jefferson. After the usual search, Paul led them to the day room, then went to the cell for Jefferson. Jefferson asked if he could take the radio. The deputy said no. Jefferson said he wouldn't go. I would hear later that Jefferson had not turned the radio off since Paul brought it to him on Friday evening. The other prisoners could hear the radio at all times of the day and night. No one else had a radio, and the prisoners wished he would play it louder, but no one would dare say anything to him. The prisoners nearest his cell could faintly hear the music he played, but the ones farther away could only hear static, though he searched day and night for stronger stations. "You want me to bring them here?" Paul asked Jefferson. Jefferson went on listening to the radio without answering him. The deputy returned to the day room and told Miss Emma what had happened. She had already set the table, and she and my aunt and Reverend Ambrose had taken their places, leaving a space for Jefferson. The food, beef stew and Irish potatoes, was still in the pot and covered. A tablespoon and a paper napkin lay beside each tin pan on a white tablecloth. "Radio?" Miss Emma asked Paul. "Grant bought him one."
"When?"
"Last Friday."
"That mean he ain't coming?"
"That's what he said," the deputy told her. Miss Emma sat staring at the space where Jefferson was supposed to sit. Then she looked up at Paul again.
"Can we go to him?" she asked.
"Sure," he said. "But it's going to be uncomfortable. Y'all trying to eat out of them pans standing up."
"We don't mind," Miss Emma said, and pushed herself up from the table.
My aunt helped her collect everything. Then the three of them followed the deputy back to the cell. Jefferson lay on his bunk, listening to music on the radio. 45 minutes later, when Paul returned to the cell, he found the radio turned off and Jefferson lying on his side, facing the wall, his back to the people. The deputy opened the door to let them out, and Jefferson turned from the wall and snapped on the radio. Paul told Miss Emma that the sheriff wanted to see her. The sheriff was sitting behind his desk. There were two empty chairs, but he did not ask anyone to sit down.
"He give you any trouble back there?"
the sheriff asked Miss Emma.
"No, sir."
"I said from the start I didn't want any trouble," the sheriff said. "If that radio is causing any trouble, I'll get it out of there."
"It ain't causing no trouble," Miss Emma said.
"He didn't come to the day room."
"We went to him. We managed."
"Standing up?"
"Yes, sir. We didn't mind."
"You minded before," the sheriff said. "That's why you went and worried my wife."
"Yes, sir," Miss Emma said.
"Listen," the sheriff said, pointing a finger across the desk. "He hasn't got much time. I don't want any trouble. Y'all have to work together with that teacher."
"We gonna work together," Miss Emma said. "I'll talk to Grant when I get back."
"What about you, Reverend?" the sheriff asked.
"My duty to stand by Sister Emma,"
Reverend Ambrose said. "And what about Jefferson?" the sheriff asked. "What about his soul?"
According to Paul, who told me this later, Reverend Ambrose lowered his eyes and did not answer.
"All right," the sheriff said. "Y'all work it out your way. Any problems, and I'll take that radio or stop the visits."
Reverend Ambrose came back to the quarter between 2:30 and 3 o'clock, and when I dismissed school, one of the boys came back to tell me that my aunt wanted to see me at Miss Emma's house before I went home. All three of them were sitting around the kitchen table when I came in. They had already finished their coffee. The cups were still on the table, but empty.
"You know what you done?"
my aunt asked me. I could tell by her face and her voice that she was mad. "What did I do?" I asked.
"Why?"
"Why what, Tant Lou?"
"That radio," she said. "That radio."
"What's wrong with the radio?"
"What's wrong with it?" Reverend Ambrose cut in. "What's wrong with it? That's all he do. Listen to that radio. That's what's wrong with it."
"And what's wrong with that?" I asked.
"He didn't have time to come sit down with us today. That's what's wrong with that," the minister said. He ain't got time for nothing else. That's what's wrong with that.
Jefferson needs something in that cell, I said.
Yes, he do, the minister said. You hit the nail on the head, mister. Yes, he do, but not that box.
And what do you suggest, Reverend Ambrose? I asked.
God, the minister said. He ain't got but 5 more Fridays and a half. He needs God in that cell and not that sin box.
What sin box? I said.
What you call that kind of music he listened to?
The minister asked.
Us standing in there trying to talk to him, and him listening to that thing till she got to reach over and turn it off. What you call it?
I call it company, Reverend Ambrose, I said.
And I call it sin company, he said.
And I don't care what you call it, I said to him.
Grant,
my aunt said. I could see that she was becoming more and more angry with me. Now she got up from her chair.